Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:33 p.m. That is normal time here in California, and it is November 7th. Well, I'm starting off looking at Kingdom Holdings, and that is down sharply again today, and that's a further indication that the confiscations that have been going on in Saudi Arabia continue. And this is a rather seismic event in terms of the escalation in terms of geopolitical pressures that are happening within the Middle East. Part of the reason for that, of course, is because the USA is now an exporter of oil, and that is contributing to this continued spread that we have between the Brent crude price and indeed the West Texas Intermediate price. It's over $5 right now. Brent crude today was down about 50 cents, but the most important thing it's done over the last 4 weeks is break above $60, and that is now helping to put some demand underneath the higher cost producers. When, for example, we look at Exxon, which had been under pressure, but doesn't fall into the high producer category, then it has been underperforming because it is a upstream to downstream that does absolutely everything. So then it has different business lines, and it really needs a very, very clear bull market in energy to do better. Royal Dutch Shell, on the other hand, is almost a pure play on gas now, and it is right up there testing its highs from 2014. And I think anybody can see that it has done so very well over the last 6 or 7 weeks that it is susceptible to some pause of consolidation, that a lot of good news has already been priced in. And we also can look at the trend over the last decade and ask, well, what's normal? And what's normal for Royal Dutch Shell is volatility, and that significant declines are usually not sustained, with the obvious exception of 2015, and significant advances are not sustained either, that you get these reversions to the mean, and we are quite overextended relative to the trend mean right now. It's a big question. Just how long are prices going to stay above $60? We know that there is a great deal of additional supply is going to come to bear at this level. There's a lot of supply becomes economic at $60. Southwestern Energy has been trending lower for more than a year. It's right back testing its lows for the decade and is beginning to firm up in here. Suncor in Canada is back testing the upper side of a decade-long range. And it is, I think today, is holding a new closing high. So that also gives us an indication that some of the higher cost producers are beginning to turn to performance here. And if they are turning to performance, what does that tell us? It absolutely tells us that they're going to be increasing supply. It's only a matter of time before that supply reaches market. It might take a few months. But then that's going to represent a significant headwind to the oil price. So then what is it that's going to sustain prices for the oil price above $60? Well, it would be a further deterioration in the geopolitics of the Middle East. The USA doesn't have quite the same incentive to act as a security guarantor for the region when it is perhaps not quite energy independent, but not that far off it either. And also, of course, you have the very real point that more advanced economies tend to be less energy intensive than developing economies. So should China be the guarantor of security in the region rather than the USA spending all that money? That's a very big question. And it is probably something that we're going to have answered, because Saudi Arabia fears more than anything else that it is going to be encircled by Iran, and views the missile attack from Yemen as an outright act of war. So then that is a potential catalyst for higher prices, because it puts the Middle East in a situation where supply may not be secure. And that is something that is not only helping to drive higher cost producers of oil, but also some of renewable sources of energy. So the Guggenheim Solar Index was in a slightly negative territory in here today, and it is also a little bit overbought in here, but it has been trending higher since April, and it is still really quite depressed. One that are, I guess, there are two shares that have been, and that's not the, excuse me, that's not the right ticker. Sunrun is one share that has been gaining market share in the U.S., and it is coming up towards the upper side of its base and is now back testing the region of the trend mean. And SolarEdge is another company that was in negative territory in here today, but it has been trending higher for just about all of this year. So we have somewhat overbought conditions, but these have been among the better performers, and then they are probably the ones that will fall less and perhaps rise most. When we take a look at the wider market, then there is no evidence just yet that the uptick in oil prices is having any kind of deleterious effect on the stock market. Neither are the Paradise Papers. But nonetheless, what we can certainly say about the advance over the last 2 weeks is that it has been a bit more choppy than the advance that we had from the middle of September through to the middle of October. That has not contributed to higher volatility. Volatility is still trading below 10 and was not able to hold its peak in here today. But nonetheless, we are due a pullback in consolidation. If that trend on the S&P 500 is going to remain consistent, and it has been rivetingly consistent, then the most likely scenario is that we are due another little range. And that is, I think, still got to be the most likely scenario. If that remains the case, if we are due a range and we get a range, and that range could be in the order of about 70 or 80 points, then that means we're still in a consistent advance, and we could then anticipate that the cycle would repeat itself. We would move on above 2600 and potentially by another 100 points, and then have another consolidation. That is what we could anticipate from what has been so far a reasonably consistent market, and certainly anybody can see on the chart that we are a little bit overbought in the short term. But it's only a little bit overbought, considering that it's almost a 2600 point index, and the trend mean is at 2400 points. We're not even 10% overextended relative to the trend mean. So and it has been an awfully long time since the market has pulled back by more than 3%. So even that, even a reaction of 3% would likely result in an uptick in volatility, because volatility is almost like calculating an RSI, that when you look at how the relative strength index is calculated, the way it's calculated is it looks back over usually the last 90 days, and then it calculates what the average is, and then where are the prices relative to that average, and how volatile have they been between different periods. That's pretty close to how the volatility is calculated on the VIX index. And because we've had such an inert environment, that has contributed to very low levels. But what it also means is, and it is exactly the same reason that, for example, when you have a very tight range and then the RSI breaks, when the stock market breaks up out of the range, that the RSI will go overbought immediately. And usually what will happen is that you kind of have to disregard that and look at it more as a confirmation that you're getting both the RSI and the stock market moving in the same direction. So because the very inert conditions of the range skew the calculation of the RSI, and that's exactly what we're getting with the VIX index. So even a 3% pullback is likely to result in a pretty significant move, and it could at least go above that 13-point level that we saw back towards the end of October. Now, gold prices were in slightly negative territory in here today. They continue to range around this $1,260 area. They're currently around $1,274. What we really do need to see are two consecutive days on the upside, and this today did not deliver that. What I also saw in here today was an article talking about what would be the best industrial, or indeed what were the best commodities to invest in. And what I found particularly interesting was that it mentioned gold and it mentioned platinum and palladium. But some of the things, I'll pull it over here just so because I didn't highlight it in comment of the day today. But what I found particularly interesting was that this article, it's talking about the five metals to invest in. There is gold, palladium, cobalt, platinum, lithium. And so I found this quite interesting. Cobalt is quite difficult to invest in because the majority of the supply comes from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Lithium is a well understood story, and prices have gone up quite a bit already. Gold, palladium and platinum are all in the precious metals sector. And what I found interesting about that is that there isn't any commentary about nickel. And nickel prices have been basing for over a year and a half, and they have just broken out. Palladium is already at $1,000, up from fractions of that a few years ago. Lithium is already well priced in. It has been the primary vehicle for leveraging interest in the battery sector. Platinum and gold have been largely range bound, and platinum is almost diametrically opposite to the outlook for lithium because of the reduced demand for diesel engines and those catalytic converters. So lithium is also involved in the battery sector, and it's also an essential element for batteries, and so is copper. But copper has already been trending higher for a year, and nickel hasn't. It represents a catch-up play. And what is also interesting is that, depending on the mine, that you'll also get cobalt when you mine for nickel. Sherritt International in Canada falls into that category. It mines both cobalt and nickel, and it is also in a base formation similar to the nickel price. So when we think about what is it that are likely to play catch-up, it's going to be those that have got the potential for a supply and elasticity meets rising demand environment, and I think nickel certainly falls into that category at the present time. Then when we look at the technology sector, I think Tesla is at a rather interesting juncture. It's right around this $300 area, and this represents an area of potential support. It's right at the region of the upper side of the underlying range, and it's in the region of the trend mean, although certainly below the trend mean at the present moment. What we've seen in the last few days has been that we've had Jay Powell has been anointed as the next Fed chair. It remains to be seen whether Janet Yellen will resign from the Fed entirely. But two senior people have already retired from the Fed, so there are going to be a lot of new faces in the first quarter of next year. And bond yields have pulled back over the last couple of days. There is, I think, probably some speculation, at least within the bond markets, that with so many new faces around the table, that they're not going to be aggressively raising interest rates, and not least because the most likely scenario is that that President Trump is going to appoint dovish people onto the board. So what that suggests is that there is potential here for bond yields to contract because expectations for more interest rates next year are likely being pared at the present moment. And by and large, that's positive for stock markets. When we look at this 2-year yield, it continues to advance here. So when that is contributing to a narrowing spread between the 10-year and the 2-year, and it isn't yet in problem territory. But that also suggests that the Fed in the is probably going to err on the side of caution, that if they can see, just like anyone else, that this spread is contracting, then they're going to be also thinking about what kind of impact raising interest rates is going to have on the economy. And there is the potential that they're going to be somewhat more dovish. That could contribute to an acceleration higher in stock prices, despite the fact that, and I think that's a medium-term consideration. While we have a short-term overbought condition in the short term, when we look around the world, then the Nikkei has been rallying in a persistent manner for the last few weeks, and then really has picked up pace in here today. It was up almost 400 points and climbing towards this 23,000 level. The second section index has been ranging around this 7,000 level, and so far it hasn't yet broken above it. But I think, you know, that considering that it paused around 5,000, paused around 6,000, and it's now at 7,000, it is due some pause and consolidation. And the yen has been ranging in the region of this 114 level, and we can see very clearly on the weekly chart that the dollar has encountered resistance around this level on 3 occasions over the last year. But I would contend that this occasion is different, that it has been ranging for longer and it didn't race to get here like it did back in the early part of this year, back in July and May. So there is, I think, the realistic potential here that the dollar break upwards against the yen, and that will lend additional fuel to the Japanese market. There is, I think, the and a growing realization among investors that the Japanese market is cheap relative to everywhere else, and that it is running both easy monetary and fiscal policies, and it is one of the only countries doing both right now, and that is contributing to asset price inflation, and we're seeing that in spades in the Nikkei right now. That doesn't mean that it's going to go up in a straight line indefinitely, but considering that the stock market has completed a very lengthy range, then this is a very powerful breakout, and there is no sign just yet that it is over. I'm rather rueing the fact that I sold out too early, but nonetheless, I think that I'm very reluctant to chase anything any longer. I've been burnt too many times doing that. Then when we look at India, then the index has been reasonably steady. It has completed this range around the 10,000 level. It was a little bit softer in here today, but again, not in a dynamic manner. And this continues to represent a bull market environment overall. President Trump is heading into China, and the H-share index has been marching higher in a very consistent manner for most of the last year and a half, and it continues to do that. It's unlikely that anyone in Beijing wants to see the stock market pull back in a violent manner. This ranging advance that we've had for the last, well, really since the beginning of 2016, has been largely manufactured, and it remains very much in form. There is no sign of panic or indeed exuberance, but rather simply just grinding higher. And there is no denying that Chinese shares are not expensive. The renminbi, though, has, I think, found at least a near-term peak around 6.4, and the most likely scenario now is that we're going to have additional ranging. But I think the much broader perspective is that the Chinese don't want a strong currency, and that the likelihood is that we're now into a period of ranging, probably between about 6.5 and the 7 area, and that could persist into the lengthy medium term. But with the continued interest in the commodity complex, then we could see the dollar doing less well against some of the commodity currencies. And it did break out against the rand, and that is a testament to the deteriorating governance in that country. Just how well it holds this breakout is going to be a playoff, I think, between governance and commodity prices. And the dollar was firmer in here today. So now the question is whether it is going to hold this 14 area. So far, this is a reasonably consistent advance. And the fact that the rand hasn't been able to capitalize on yesterday's strength, and that the most recent dynamic was in favor of the dollar, is a testament to the fact that governance is trumping the commodity complex at the present time. And the Brazilian real was pretty much unchanged in here today. And it is a rather different scenario. Obviously, it isn't as if Brazil is a shining light for governance, but they have been prosecuting some of their corruption, whereas there have been a number of failed attempts at prosecuting corruption in South Africa. But what we can see clearly here is that the dollar's progression of lower rally highs remains intact. The most recent dynamic was downwards, and that would suggest that the real is perhaps a better bet than the rand for outperformance relative to the dollar over not just the short term, but potentially over the next few months or even the next year. When we look at that Asian dollar index, then what we can see is that there has been this very clear progression of high reaction lows all year, and it has most recently found support in the region of the trend mean. And as long as it is trading above the trend mean, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And that represents a significant tailwind for foreign investors into the Asian region generally. And considering that, when we look at Wall Street, that it has done so fantastically well, then there is a valuation gap between Wall Street and just about everywhere else, and that gives everywhere else the potential for a catch-up play. And I suspect that that is what we're going to continue to have. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.